The Talk Shop with Sydney Baloyi. SMS 34701.
The time is 5 minutes after 8 o'clock. Welcome back to the Talk Shop with Sydney Baloyi, and thanks to Greg, who will be back at the top of the next hour. At 9 o'clock, he'll be back with the latest news. Let's just acknowledge some of the SMSs that have come through, and of course, we encourage you to keep sending us SMSs on any of the subjects that we talk about, including the one that I'm about to introduce with our next guest in a short while. The first SMS says, surely, if they are providing essential service, they should be paid well. That is the crux of the matter. This one refers to the open line topic that we had. The next one says, if the government did not steal so much money for themselves, they will be able to pay essential services a decent salary. So Wednesday, vote for someone else. It's unsigned, that one. And the next one from Rustin Beck from Meramenzi says, if you don't want essential servers to strike, pay them like you do judges, or go be an essential server yourself and don't strike. And here is one from Elliot Dale. It says, I believe that patients' lives are more important than bonuses. Doctors must know that. It's from Masande at the Mpane location in Elliot Dale. And from Lady Smith, Sitle wants to know, is a job as a security guard not an essential service, or is it one of the forgotten professions? And the last one from Ludwig says, thanks for bringing this topic on air. Looking at the LRA, everyone has the right to strike. Even doctors are entitled to participate in a protected strike. That one is from Ludwig. Those are some of the SMSs that we got responding to our open line. It's 7 minutes after 8 o'clock. I did tell you right at the top of the talk shop that just after the 8 o'clock news, we are going to examine one of the most compelling phenomenon in human relations and human interactions. A South African student who is now sitting just opposite me here, Jana van der Merwe, is currently busy with her master's program in clinical psychology. And she's busy with a research that should make you sit up and think. This research explores the relationship that white children, that's correct, huh?
That's absolutely correct.
White children who have been raised by black domestic workers have with those domestic workers. So our conversation with Jana will focus mainly on how the domestic workers may have become integral parts of these children's lives, as well as how this relationship is unique to South Africa's political, cultural, and historical context. Now, you must just for 1 second close your eyes and think of domestic workers. It must be one of the oldest professions in modern-day South Africa. That's why they've been called all kinds of names from as way back as, you know, the discovery of gold in Joburg. They were called helpers, nannies, domestic workers. Some in the olden days even used to call them nurse girls, simply girls, even though half the time they would be older than everyone else in the home.
Absolutely, and I think they've been historically kind of disenfranchised in this country. And I think the primary thing that I'm trying to say with this research is just how meaningful a domestic worker was to my life, and I suspect that other people, other listeners, may have found domestic workers particularly meaningful in their lives as nannies, as people who helped raise them in a maternal way, as people who acted as mothers for them.
Okay. That is Jana van der Merwe, who has just joined us in studio, and that's how passionate and enthusiastic she is about the subject. She's already gotten straight into the thick of things. Welcome to the Talk Shop with Sydney Baloyi.
Thank you, Sydney.
Yeah. Tell me, Jana, were you raised by a black domestic worker yourself?
Well, yes, I was partly raised by a domestic worker. My mother and father both worked here at the SABC, actually, for most of my childhood, and I was minded by a domestic worker, and her name was Sophie Masumpa.
Okay.
And when she died, when I was 22 years old, which is about 5 years ago, I realized how much she meant to me, and how I never told her how much she meant to me, and how I never really acknowledged how meaningful my relationship with her was. And I think my research now and the research that I did a couple of years ago is all about showing how meaningful domestic workers have been to me and how meaningful I believe them to be.
Did she have children?
Yes, she did.
Did you ever interact with any of her kids?
Yes, I did. They were often older than I was. I think her youngest child was about 10 years older than me.
Okay.
And, yeah, I did interact with them.
So, Jana, you basically spent most of your time in your early days with Sophie.
Yes, I did. And
would you say it was more time spent with her than with your biological parents? Because of work commitments.
Yes, I do. I think I spent a lot of time with her. I remember how
Do you know what language she spoke?
Xhosa. It was my first language as well. It was the first language I could speak. I can't speak any of it anymore, but it was the first language I could speak was Xhosa.
Okay. So in other words, you know, your spending time with her, it did have an effect on your language and emotional development as a child.
I think Sophie became so much a part of who I am today that this is what I'm spending most of my time on. I think she gave me a sense of dignity, a sense of a moral compass. You know, she still is someone that I return to, kind of like, well, what would Sophie do in this kind of situation? What would she say to me? How would she help guide me? So she's someone that I still use as a point of reference for my life.
That's fantastic. Now, just tell us, you must have discussed this with a lot of people, your friends, you know, fellow university mates.
Mm.
What kind of reaction do you get when you tell them that you're doing a research on the emotional connection that develops between a domestic worker and the child that they are raising?
You know, I think it's mixed. I think often people are people find it very interesting because I think everyone has a point of reference for a domestic worker who takes care of a white child. I think that's something that is that has kind of become ingrained in almost like our social unconscious. It's become something that we understand. So I think everyone kind of sees it and understands it. But I do think that people often think that I'm trying to take away the place of the mother, or which I'm not trying to do. All I'm trying to do really is to show that domestic workers do help to raise children and that they should be appreciated for doing such work.
Did you perform any recreational chores with Sophie, like, you know, going shopping together and doing other things outside of, you know, the normal work that she was expected to do with you?
I remember that at some stage she would be washing the household clothes, and I would take my doll's clothes and I would set up a little bath and I would wash my doll's clothes and she would wash all our clothes. And on some level I think she guided me through domestic chores. I know that sounds silly, but you know, she showed me how to take care of a household.
You know, as you're talking like this, I'm just thinking about, you know, South Africa with a timeline in mind. The kind of relationship that exists between domestic workers and the kids they raise now, would you say is the same as that which existed before 94? Is there a pre-94 effect and a post-94 effect in this relationship that we're trying to interrogate you and I tonight?
I think gladly I think importantly, I think labour laws have become far more stringent post 94. So I do think that domestic workers are better remunerated than they were. But I think fundamentally, I don't necessarily believe that they are as respected as they could be for the work that they do with regards to children. It's also a part of their job that is secondary. It's not a primary part of their job. A domestic worker is employed to do domestic duties, not necessarily to help raise children. And I think that if that were more primary, I think they would be far better off. Even still now, I think that there is growth, there is room for growth for them to be better off than they are now, far better remunerated. And
so, so you're actually putting your neck on the block and saying that these people are not as well looked after as they should, or at least the value that they bring in the entire equation of bringing up the children that they are responsible for partly raising is not being well remunerated.
I don't think so, no.
Okay, I see you want to have a glass of water. We still have a lot of time to talk. I'm going to give you just a short break. You can relax, take a glass of water. We've got someone on the line, Dorothy Nozibele. We're going to welcome her just after a short break, and she's going to be talking about her experiences. And if there are any questions that you would like to ask, just to check if there are any similarities between what she's doing and what Sophie used to do, you're free to just to come in and we can have a chat with Dorothy. Let's take a short break, and when we come back, we welcome Dorothy to the Talk Shop.
Welcome back to Political Forum. In the studio this afternoon, we'll be discussing the escalating violence in Iraq, a problem that doesn't seem to be going away. Our special guest is the Iraqi Minister of Defense. Good day to you, sir.
Good afternoon, Jeremy. It's a real privilege to be here today.
Who is really in charge in Iraq? Let's have the conversation.
Talk on SAFM.
SMS 34701.
It is 16 after 8 o'clock. You are listening to The Talk Shop with Sydney Baloyi. I am with Jana Fanamerve, a student who is currently busy with a research for her master's in clinical psychology, and she's looking at the emotional connection that develops between domestic workers, the majority of whom are black, and the kids they help to raise, the majority of whom are white. We've got Dorothy on the line, who is doing domestic work somewhere in Johannesburg. And let's welcome Dorothy and hear her story. Good evening, Dorothy.
Good evening, sir.
How are you tonight?
I'm fine, thank you.
I'm all right. We just want to talk to you a little bit about your work. You are a domestic worker, am I correct?
Fine.
You are a domestic worker, ma?
Yes.
Okay. Where about? In Johannesburg?
Yes, enjoy this.
Okay, how many kids are you raising?
One.
Just one kid?
Mm-hmm.
And how old is the kid?
22.
The kid is 2?
Yeah, 22.
22?
Yeah.
You are raising an old man.
Yeah, from the start, from the beginning.
Okay, you've been raising him from the start.
Yes.
How old was he when you started looking after him?
I'm not sure, but he was in grade 3.
Okay, it was grade 3.
Yeah.
So he must have been around 7 years, 7, 8, 9, around there.
Yeah.
Okay. What does he call you, Dorothy? Does he call you Dorothy, or does he call you Ma, or does he call you Madam?
He's just calling me Dorothy.
He just calls you Dorothy.
Yes.
And do you have children of your own?
Yes, I've got my children.
How many are they?
Mine is 6.
Okay. And your 6-year-old child, do you live with your child there?
Yeah, now the big one is just staying alone, not with me. I'm just staying with the small ones.
Okay. Now, tell me something. What we want to know is... your work as a domestic worker, do you love it? Do you love that job?
Oh, yes, I do love that job.
Okay. What kind, this 22-year-old son of yours, what's his name?
Son of mine.
The 22-year-old that you are looking after, how old, what is his name?
His name is John.
It's John. Now, when he was doing grade 3, and you started looking after him, what kind of a relationship did you guys develop? Did you develop a very close relationship?
Yes, yes, I did.
Did he see you as did he see you as his mother, or just as someone that's there to wash his clothes and iron them?
I was doing that for him.
Okay. Okay. And you feel that you know, do you get enough respect in your job as a domestic worker there?
Yes, a lot.
You think that you are paid well?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You don't want any more money than what you are getting?
Beg your pardon?
You are satisfied with the money that you are getting?
Yes, I do.
You don't want any more?
Oh, no, I do when they've got some more.
Ah, okay. So are your employers there around? Are they listening to this conversation that we're having?
Pardon?
Your employers, are they with you there?
No, I'm in the house now.
Oh, okay. I just wanted to say, please just tell them, you know, we would like to thank them as well for keeping you on the job for so long, almost 20 years. So tomorrow you're waking up, you're going back to the house where you've been working for all these years?
Yes.
Okay.
Every day traveling.
Do you want to speak to Dorothy and ask her something?
Hi, Dorothy. This is Jana van der Merwe. I'm doing some research in terms of the relationship you might be having with, I think his name is John, the 22-year-old man who you seem to have had a role in raising since he was in grade 3. I'd just like to know whether you could describe your relationship with him to me. How do you feel about him?
I can't hear you.
Okay. Jana wants to know, how do you feel about John? Is he like your... Do you feel like he's your child, he's your son?
Oh, yes. Yes. I like that because he respects me.
Okay.
And how else would you... Can you describe him for me as a person?
Beg your pardon?
Yeah, can you just describe him as a person? Does he laugh a lot? Does he talk too much?
No, he loves to play what he loves to play.
Okay. Did you teach him anything that you think his parents would not have managed to teach him?
Oh, yes, I did.
What did you teach him?
Teach him to tie up his tools.
Okay. And any language that you taught him? Okay, we've lost Dorothy. I'm sure she was just feeling a bit hot. She felt like she was being interviewed. Anyway, what we've been trying to do was obviously just to have a conversation with her. But I'm sure there are other people that will phone through who are doing the same job as Dorothy, and they'll be able to give us their own experiences around this. Now, do you feel that with this research that you're doing, you're getting some emotional closure, some emotional satisfaction that you are able, you feel like you're honoring Sophie who brought you up?
Well, I think that's one of my primary aims. And I think with the research that I'm doing at the moment as well, is that I'd love to hear from listeners who were also raised by domestic workers like me.
Yes.
Listeners who feel like they also had a strong bond with their domestic worker.
Yes.
Listeners who feel like they would like to honor their domestic worker by telling us how much she meant to them.
Or domestic workers that would like to confirm some of the sentiments that you're sharing with us.
Absolutely.
Because it's a pity that, you know, people are just listening to you all on the radio. I'm looking at your eyes and already I see them almost watery stage, because I think as you talk to me, you're transporting yourself back so many years and you're imagining all the soft touches that you used to experience from Sophie and all the motherly affection she used to give you, which at the time maybe it did not translate to mean such. But in hindsight, you do feel that you were in very, very safe hands of someone that loved you as if you were their own.
Mm.
And you were there. You were hers.
Absolutely. Yeah. She loved me like her own. Absolutely. And I think with the research that I did last year as well, is that we found that the the bond that the domestic workers had with the children they helped to raise was very maternal. These women really cared about the kids that they helped to raise. They viewed these children as their own children.
Yeah.
They viewed themselves as mothers to these children. And I think that really is the nature of the relationship.
Yeah. South Africa has a history of racial prejudice, which in fact makes this piece of research by you a lot more interesting. Now, did this play out in any way in your relationship with Sophie?
I think the way in which I kind of came upon the topic was quite interesting, in that I started considering reasons why we did not have a civil war in 1994. And I kind of realized that there were so many white children who were partly raised by black women that there's always been a closeness that's never been acknowledged. And it's because of this closeness that maybe isn't acknowledged that maybe that's why we didn't have a civil war.
Okay, we're going to get back to the civil war at a later stage. We've got a caller, one of our regular callers from Mayfair, that's Faisal. We'd like to welcome him. I'm sure he wants to chat to you. Can't wait for that. Hello, Faisal.
Hi, Sydney. How are you?
I'm all right, thanks.
Good evening to your guests as well, actually.
Okay, that's Yana.
Fiona, sorry. Now, what I want to say, you know, I want to try to give a story more from an employer side of it, actually. You know, the thing is that I'm a single dad, and I have a severe disabled son.
Mm.
And my domestic worker who's been with me for the past approximately about 9-10 years now.
Mm.
She's more than a domestic worker. She's provided the love and the care for my son that a mother would provide, actually. And I came to realize this a long time ago, actually. And it also afforded me an opportunity to bond with my domestic worker. In a sense that the type of work doesn't fall under the normal employer relationship type of thing, actually, which you would normally find in an office, actually. And therefore, you know, I mean, it allowed me to understand where my domestic worker, the type of where she came from, her kids, her particular problems, and her particular way of life as well, actually.
Mm.
It also allowed me an opportunity to treat that worker exactly equally as I would treat anyone else as well. It stated to me that if I have a bond with my domestic worker, it must be that I have to treat her well as well, actually. I have to treat her, pay her well. I would ensure that, you know, that she would sit down with me during my when I'm eating, and we would eat at the same table together as well. What I'm trying to say is that, you know, if my domestic worker is a person is providing so much love in my house, actually, I think it's important for us, for many people to reciprocate that love, actually.
Mm.
Because it's not so simply as like a working type of relationship, actually. It's far beyond that, actually, you know. And I came to realize this a long time ago, actually.
Faisal, we really want to thank you for speaking from the heart about this subject. I know that Faisal often calls and, you know, will joke about this and that, and it's just sounding like a totally different Faisal tonight. Do you want to say something about it?
Yeah, I think your description of your love for the domestic worker who surely hasn't...
Are you still there, Faisal?
Yeah, no, I'm still here, thank you.
Okay, I'm sure Yana wants to ask something.
Sure.
Well, I was just going to make a comment that I just think it's beautiful that... That you could have such respect and such love, really, for your domestic worker because of both the love that she's showing your son and your family.
Yeah.
And I just thank you for kind of showing what she means to you on such a public forum.
And, you know, and the thing is that, you know, she has also got two kids as well. It also allowed me an opportunity to get involved with her children as well.
Mm.
In the sense of the education and stuff like that. It made me also concerned about her particular life as well, actually, you know. And I think, as I said, it works both ways, actually, you know. You know, that person you love, and you provide the love as well back to her as well, actually.
Faisal, thank you very much. Have yourself a great evening, man.
Thanks.
Okay, we continue to take your calls on 0891 104 207, 0891 104 207. We're talking to Yana Fanamerve, who is telling us about very special relationship she had with her domestic helper, Sophie. And you can give us your own views and your own experiences. Even domestic workers can call us and tell us about their own experiences. Let's go to Peter Marisbeck and we'll welcome Anton. Good evening, Anton. How are you doing tonight?
Yes, hello, Sydney. No, I'm well, thank you. Just a quick question to Jana.
Yeah.
Now, when I and my brother and sister were young, we were brought up by a domestic worker
yeah.
who was actually childless. And so there was quite a strong bond between the four of us. But, you know, my question to Jana is that do you think that if... you get two domestic workers, both are dedicated, but the one is childless and the other has got their own biological children, that the bond between the childless domestic worker and the so-called white children in this case is likely to be stronger than the bond with the other domestic worker, because the other domestic worker has got their own children and their own children are going to take preference over somebody else's children, whereas the childless domestic worker doesn't have their own children, and so there are no other children that take preference in their lives over the ones that they are looking after. Sydney, thank you very much.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Anton. I'm sure you're going to be listening on the radio. You want to say something to that?
Yes, I think it's something that I don't think the answer is cut and dry. So I don't think that one can say that because domestic workers have their own children that they necessarily love the children that they care for more or less. What I did find is that domestic workers often, their children don't live with them. And this either makes them slightly resentful towards the children that they help to raise, or they kind of give the love that they would like to give to their own children to their white counterparts because they're often not with their children, not raising their own children. They raise the children within the families that they work for
yeah.
as their own. And I think childless domestic workers also raise children
yeah.
like their own.
Okay.
But I don't think the answer is cut and dried. I don't think that there is a right or a wrong answer. I think every
yeah.
case has its own merits.
Okay. Thank you, Yana. Let's go to Lady Brand, and we now welcome Dinero, who wants to join the conversation, and I'm sure she would like to speak to you. Good evening, Dinero.
Hi, how are you?
All right, thanks. How are you?
I'm fine.
Okay.
You know, I lost my mother at a very, very young age.
Okay.
I was brought up by a domestic worker in my father's farm.
Okay.
I speak very, very little Afrikaans.
Okay.
I speak perfect Southern Sotho.
All right.
She's not of a mother to me. I mean, I lost a mother at a very young age, but I have a mother throughout my growing up years.
And this was somebody who was doing domestic work.
Pardon?
And this was somebody who was doing domestic work.
She was a domestic worker at my father's farm.
Okay.
She made me who I am today. I'm a very successful engineer. And her children were my brothers and they were my sisters. We all lived in the same farm. When my mother died, my father took in the children. They
yeah.
all came to live with us in the same house, and I had a family.
Okay. And and you speak South Sotho and Afrikaans?
Very little Afrikaans. Very, very little.
Which of the two is your first language, Danielle?
Pardon?
Your first language?
This is my mother tongue.
Afrikaans is your mother tongue?
Yeah.
Okay. And
yeah.
and yet you are more comfortable with Sotho?
I'm more comfortable with Sotho than any other language.
And this is because of the influence that the domestic worker had whilst bringing you up.
With our black children in the same house as my brothers and my sisters.
Yeah.
With my father, who also speaks Sotho, so, you know.
Okay. Do you know what?
Her name is Masa. I hope she's listening, because I now live in Johannesburg, and I hope she's listening.
Okay.
She's been the best mother anybody could wish for.
If Martha is not listening, I'm sure there must be a lot of people back home in Ladybrand who know her, who might be listening, and by tomorrow she will know what a famous old lady she has suddenly become. Thank you very much, Danelle.
All right, thank you.
Yeah. Now, this is quite a classical case of how a domestic worker's emotional connection with someone had such an impactful development to language, emotional being. I mean, this person, Dineo, is an Afrikaans speaking. It's supposed to be Afrikaans speaking. She says her first language is Afrikaans. But now it's almost like a second language because she says she speaks Sotho better than her own language.
Mm.
I mean, I'm sure she's even changed the name. That's why she's called Dineo. All right, let's go. There's a housekeeper that's joining us from Highlands North, and I'm sure she wants to help us, you know, finish off from where Dorothy left off. And that is Aletta. Let's welcome her. Hello, Aletta.
Hello, how are you?
I'm all right, thanks. How are you?
I'm fine.
Good.
I really like the conversation so much.
Okay.
I am a housekeeper from Lesotho.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Yeah, and I've been looking after two kids. I have 2 years now.
Okay.
And the second one...
And this is not a Sotho family you are working with?
No, I'm working for Indians.
Okay.
And the second born child, I've been looking after him since he was 6 months. He is speaking Sotho brilliantly, you won't believe it.
Okay, we call that indoctrination, huh?
Yeah, because we have got this strong bond between them and me. They love me so much. I love me. I am considering myself as part of this family. I know housekeeping is not easy.
Yeah.
To look after two children and cleaning the house is not easy.
Yeah.
But the love that I get from this family and the children, it helps me so much. It helps so much because their parents appreciate me.
Yeah.
Whenever you make mistakes or something, because they know, they see the love that I am giving to their children. I am so happy to be working for these people. I wish they could be listening because I love them so much. Because if you get love from those people,
yeah,
then you can it eases your work. It eases your mind that at least I know housekeeping is difficult. But because of the love that I am getting from this family, I am really happy to be working for these people.
Aletta, thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
You've really made, you've actually made it easier for us to believe that it was about time that we brought up a subject like this.
Yeah,
and all the thanks to Jana. Like
for me, from coming as far as from Lesotho to leaving my own children to look after somebody's children,
yeah,
it has
do you have a question for
me? Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you so much.
All right, that's good. I'm still with Jana in the studio. I'm sure, you know, from the way that head is nodding, I just know that so far you are in agreement with everything that Aletta was saying.
I think Aletta was such a beautiful example of a reciprocal relationship where the family loves the domestic worker and appreciates what she's doing, and where she also feels appreciated and loved and respected and cared for.
Yeah.
But I do think that sometimes there are difficulties, that sometimes domestic workers don't often know exactly where they fit. It's almost like they feel part of the family, but yet they're not part of the family, but they're sometimes treated as part of the family, and other times they're not part of the family. And I think it's that difficulty and that tension that's often really difficult for domestic workers to negotiate.
Okay, let's go to someone that's on the road and was raised by a domestic worker. That's Grant. Good evening, Grant.
Hi, good evening, Harvey. Well, thank you very much.
Yes, we're right with you, Grant. Can you...
Okay.
Yep.
I was raised by a domestic worker. Her name was Andy Wimilda. She was an absolutely beautiful woman.
Okay, Grant, I think your line is really bad. We're going to try and see if you can just call in again whilst we go to Randbeck, and we'll welcome Clinton. And sorry to Grant about that. I mean, he sounded quite enthusiastic about this whole situation. I just hope that he comes back on a different line. That will be much clearer. Clinton, good evening.
Good evening, sir. How are you doing?
I'm all right. How are you, man?
Good. Look, I just want to talk about domestic workers. You know, these people, they do good job.
Yeah.
Okay? But, you know, the thing about families that have domestic worker, like young men, you know, when they pick up the job that domestic workers do,
yeah,
and they have to strike a balance. you know, where when you see your woman, she begins to see that she's got soft spots for a domestic worker. Sometimes they get jealous. You know what I'm saying?
Okay, all right. Okay, so...
But the fact is that domestic workers are very, very good. I've got children.
Yeah.
That I can tell you myself, when I come back from work, if I spend 2 hours with them,
yeah,
I'm already exhausted. My backs are aching me.
Yeah.
Because I've got two hyperactive kids. Then I would ask myself, how does this lady cope with this kid?
Yeah. So Clinton, tell me, are you telling us that there are women that get offended when the man of the house is more friendly towards the domestic worker? Is that what you're saying?
Definitely.
All right, I'm going to ask Yana if she's aware of that phenomenon. But thanks for your view, and thanks for giving credit where credit is due. Clinton says that, you know, he comes back from work excited to be with his kids, but in less than 2 hours he's already tired, and he just wonders how this lady does it the whole day. But this thing about the women being a little ugly towards a domestic worker just because the man of the house seems too friendly towards them, is it something you're aware of?
It's not something I've been concentrating on, I must be honest, but I do think that I do think my domestic worker cleans a lot better than I do, and she deserves all the praise for that. And yeah. I do think that...
Because, you know, the reason why I was laughing, I am actually aware of this, of this thing. It happens a lot amongst, you know, people in my circle. You'll hear the woman saying, we are looking for a domestic worker.
Mm.
And the minute I recommend someone I know, someone that used to work for me, they will ask the age. That's the very first thing they go for. If you say she's 25, 26, they say, no ways, don't even go there. She must be the opposite of that. She must be 52 or 62 or whatever, because they think that the younger the domestic worker, the more attractive she's likely to be in the home. That's...
Well, women, I don't think, ever really stop competing with each other. I think that's slightly
so that's
off the topic.
So that's... just a typical women's world.
I think so.
Okay. All right, let's go to Cape Town and we'll welcome Don. Good evening, Don.
Hello.
Yep.
I'd just like to say, sort of, I'm not speaking from somebody who is brought up by a maid. My mother brought me up.
Yes.
But I'm 67, and
yep,
for the last 37 years, I don't call her my domestic. I call her my housekeeper.
Okay.
Has looked after me, I've helped her, I've brought up her children, she's part of my family. When I do something wrong, she tells me I've done something wrong. Now, her name is Fudiswa Junior Manyakanyaka.
Okay.
And an absolutely marvelous, marvelous person.
Yeah.
And
okay, Don, are you still there?
Yes, yes.
Okay.
I just want to say, you know, people call people domestic servants. I think we should actually change that.
Mm.
Okay, don't worry. We've got someone that's working on a very intensive research for this. I was going to get to that right now with you, Yana, about the correct way of addressing these people. I won't even call it politically correct, because there shouldn't be any politics about it.
Mm.
We must just find a way to address these people.
I'm not worried about political correctness. I mean, there's so much rubbish about that around the place anyway. I mean, there just should be a name. I mean,
yeah,
she must be an employee. She must be somebody who works for you. I mean, when you say domestic worker, it actually denigrates the person, I think.
Sounds like they are pets or something.
Mm-hmm.
That's
they've
right.
been domesticated.
That's right.
Yeah. So
okay,
we should be getting something like
right.
You know, domestic, what, practitioners or housekeeper. Mm-hmm. Don, thank you very much. That was a good thought, and I can see Yana already thinking of adding another chapter in a research work. Let's check Grant, who is in transit. around South Africa. Hello, Grant.
Hello there. Hi. Thank you. Thank
you. You are back.
Yes. Can you hear me?
Okay. Now we can hear you loud and clear.
Fantastic. Both my sister and I were raised by a domestic worker. I'm in my 40s today, and this beautiful lady's name was Tandi, or Hilda. And she was part of our family. Now, it was quite a tough call because I was raised in a very small conservative town on the East Rand in Gauteng.
Yes.
And so she was part of our family. From the time I was about 4 years old until I was about 18, she left our house. But even her son, when her son was born, he has my middle name. His name is Edgar. And I remember when he was growing up with us, he called my father Dad. And that was it. And we got frowned on, and we got scorned, and we got all kinds of stuff in this little town. But
yeah.
They were part of our family, and that was it. She was an absolute darling. She taught me a lot of things. She taught me how to tie my shoes.
Yeah.
In the afternoon, she used to read with me, do my homework with me.
Mm-hmm.
You were looking at earlier on about what would you call something like that. Today, that would be called an au pair. And in Europe, you have an au pair. You have au pairs, yeah, and they earn good money. They probably earn twice the amount a domestic worker earns. But that's what she did, as well as looking after us and raising us and looking after the
house.
She was actually our au pair. She walked us to school. She walked us back. She was my second mom. I love her very dearly.
That's fantastic. Thank you very much, Grant, for your contribution. Now, tell me, we were just talking about the history that South Africa and South Africans have, history of strained relations, especially between black and white people. Now, if it's true that the majority of white people were brought up in this wonderful fashion that I'm hearing from our callers and from you, now, where does this strained relation come? Because I would actually imagine that 9 out of every 10 white people were brought up by a black mother.
Yeah, I think our relationships have been so paradoxical because on the one hand, even in apartheid years, we were living together. I had, we were living in unison together on the same properties, and yet we weren't allowed to. We weren't allowed to cohabit. We weren't allowed to share the same space. We weren't allowed to share the same toilets, for goodness sake. So I think it's a very paradoxical history that we have because, you know, if you think about it, white children were entrusted to the people that white people supposedly feared back in apartheid days. And black women were raising us. And I find that so paradoxical and beautiful because I think that it's made me in so much of a richer person.
Yeah.
And I find it particularly strange, and I think it's something that we need to discuss. I mean, I think it's something that I don't quite understand either.
Yeah, I think it will remain one of those unanswered questions around us. Now, you're busy with this research. What numbers are we talking about? How many domestic workers do we have in South Africa?
We have between 900,000 and 1 million domestic workers in South Africa,
registered.
Most of whom are registered.
Yeah.
This is according to Stats SA and COSATU.
Okay.
Most of whom who are black, predominantly black.
Yeah.
I think what is changing is the fact that the families are no longer just white.
Yeah,
so we had
black
a previous,
families,
yeah, they're black families and Indian families, who,
yeah.
all of whose children are being raised by domestic workers. And I think if I could just say something about the reason why I use the term domestic worker as opposed to nanny or au pair, is because I think in labor legislation, that's the term that they use.
Okay.
And that's the reason why I kind of went for it with regards to my research. And I still don't think it encompasses the whole, encompass what they do and what they mean. And
it doesn't.
I do agree with that.
It doesn't. I actually agree with Don, the guy that called us from Cape Town. I must thank him actually for bringing that up. Because maybe it can just start a whole revolution around the classification of these people.
I think it's a very meaningful.
What kind of salaries do they get?
They don't get very good salaries at all. I think that the last statistics that I have
yeah.
was that they, let me just find it here,
yeah.
A minimum amount of 1,200 rand per month plus transport costs for a skilled domestic worker
yeah.
in the city, according to COSATU in 1999.
Yeah,
which is not a living wage by any standard, according to
not
me.
Not in this day and age.
No.
Anyway, let's go back to the lines from Rustenburg. We welcome Musaudi Muahludi. Good evening.
Good evening. How are you? Thanks for taking my call.
Okay.
Yeah, you know, earlier on I called and it was just too emotional. I couldn't even talk, you know.
Okay, sorry about that, but you're feeling okay right now, Muahludi?
Yeah, now I can talk, yeah.
Okay.
I don't have a particular experience with domestic workers,
yeah.
As in personally in my own family,
but yeah.
But my mother passed away when I was very, very young, and we became a family that had many people who played an important role, who were not necessarily working for us, and I think... what she's doing, it's quite critical for our own nation.
You mean Yana?
Yeah, what? Yeah, this research.
Okay, that's great. We just wanted to get that straight.
I can only hope that it will really help us to deal with the reality. Because for me, it was just too much. I mean, I couldn't just... I think it's so good that someone like her can actually look into this and say and tell her story. And perhaps this would contribute to contribute positively to the journey of South Africans.
Yeah.
Because we've not started. I believe we've not started this journey of reconciliation. TRC, in my opinion, was just an intervention at the legislative level, which is not reaching the people.
Yeah.
This is what we need. We need people to be talking and telling their own story, not because there's a particular commission, you know, guided by the law and so on, and
yeah.
you know, amnesty and all that. I think people need to tell their stories. There are many other, I was just thinking about many other South Africans who are in many other conditions
yeah.
similar to the domestic workers. So I'm really appreciative of her research. I would be glad to read it after it's been published.
Muahludi, thank you very much. I can actually understand why in the earlier part of the program you were emotional, because even the person that I'm sitting opposite here is just as emotional as you. And Yana, you must be feeling good to at least get a vote of confidence even before the end of the program from someone that, you know, feel touched by what you are doing.
Absolutely. And I think I'm just so grateful that someone else cares. I'm just so grateful that someone else cares about my story and our story, because I do think it's our story. I think it's our story as South Africans, not only mine. And
yeah.
I'm just so grateful that someone else cares, and I'm just so grateful for the participation that we've received and for the stories
yeah.
that I've heard.
Thank you very much. Muahludi, thanks, my brother, and have a great evening.
Welcome.
Good. Now, when Anton from Pietermaritzburg called, he spoke about various things, you know, domestic workers who are childless and those that have children. And it led you to say a point that I want to get back to.
Mm.
You said half the time these domestic helpers are found without their own children, even if they do have them. Their own children end up being raised elsewhere by somebody else. Why is that?
Well, I think that comes back to urbanization, really, and the fact that work is very scarce in rural areas. So the father moves away from the family in rural situations, and women also need to take care of their children, and then they move into the cities to work as domestic workers because that's what they need to do in order to support their families. So in essence, my mother worked to support me, and
yeah.
my domestic worker worked to support her children. So we have mothers working, not spending time with their own children,
yeah.
so that we can all have a life and be better off than our mothers were.
And you also said something quite interesting, that domestic workers are always, you know, checking the coast so to speak. There are times when they feel like they're part of the family, and there are times when they're not sure if they should be part of the family. What kind of a scenario is that? I mean, you...
I think it's a very difficult scenario. I think so often, you know, they... I remember in my research in 2007, women often said how they were expected to go on holiday with their families down to the coast over Christmas, and how they would miss their own children over Christmas, and how you know, how they felt like a mother, but they didn't have the authority to act like a mother.
Yeah.
So they weren't allowed to discipline the children like their parents disciplined the children. So they were often boundaries that were difficult to negotiate. They didn't often know where the authority started and stopped. And I think it is hard. I think it is hard to leave your own family, end up in a completely different family where you are, sometimes you are considered a mom and sometimes you're not considered a mom, and it doesn't depend on who you are, it depends on the situation. And I think that's really hard.
Tatiana van der Merwe, who is busy with her research that's looking at the emotional connection that exists between domestic helpers and the children that they raise, taking into consideration that the majority of white people in South Africa were raised by black domestic workers. She's trying to interrogate as to what kind of a relationship arose from that relationship. Her own relationship, of course, is being used as a case study of a relationship that has grown into a very emotional bond with Sophie that helped raise Yana. We take a break, and when we come back, we just look at the final thoughts around this subject.
The SABS Design Institute is celebrating 40 years of design excellence. The Design Institute invites all designers and companies to enter their products into the 2009 SABS Design Excellence Awards and become part of this proud tradition. Visit sabs.co.za and click on Design Institute to submit your entry before 8 May. Or contact Zenobia at 012-428-7038. The SABS Design Institute, celebrating design excellence to the benefit of all South Africans.
Plant a seed in fertile ground, and something will grow. Without that seed, nothing has a chance to grow. We live in times of opportunity. We walk on fertile ground. The time has come to plant our seeds and help our country grow. Exercise your right to vote on the 22nd of April and participate in our democracy. This message is brought to you by the Electoral Commission and SABC Education.
The feeling of contentment washed over him like the first rain to the end of the dry season. Shaul knew he had done the right thing. And as small as his mark might be, his voice would be heard. He was invigorated by this feeling. And although his feet were tired and his body weary, that day, the long walk home felt like it was being carried on the clouds. Broadcasting live from all 9 provinces on 19 radio stations, 4 TV channels, and sabcnews.com, we bring you history as it happens. The 2009 election coverage, brought to you by SABC News, Africa's news leader.
Talk on SAFM.
It is just around 2 minutes remaining before we go straight to the news, which will mean the end of our program, even though we're having quite a great time here with Yana van der Merwe, a master student who is busy finalizing her research on the relationship between domestic workers and the children they raise. There is an SMS that has come through here. An ex-girlfriend of mine worked 12 hours a day, every day, without day off. The most exploited. This is Elliot from Witbank. Are you familiar with this kind of exploitations in this field?
I do think it happens. I hate that it happens, but I do think it does happen. I think it happens less now than it used to happen. But yes, I find it completely unacceptable.
Yana, the callers have said it. I'd like to say it as well, that this has been one of the most inspiring subjects that we've been able to take a look at on our program, and all the thanks to you.
And I thank you so much for caring. Thank you.
That was Jana van der Merwe, a research student working on interrogating the relationship that exists between domestic workers and the children they raise. And this was the Talk Shop with Sydney Baloyi on SAFM, South Africa's news and information leader. From myself, Mignon, Rita and Japs, we say good night until we get together again with you with more interesting stories tomorrow night at 7.